10-inch penis.
And hello and welcome to episode number 26 of the Crossing Borders Wrestling Podcast. Got it right this time. My name is Strenuous Manflurry, your host for this evening, and I am joined as always by my usual cohort, writer Kath. How you doing today, Kath?
I'm doing pretty good.
Now, if I can ask you one question before we get into wrestling talk. Do you, in your personal life, also prefer Kath over Catherine?
I typically go by Catherine. Mm-hmm. Because my mom shares the name with me, and she goes by Kathy.
Okay.
So, Catherine, it's kind of our way of distinguishing ourselves.
Well, Kath would also distinguish you.
It's too close to Kathy, so.
Isn't Catherine? I guess it's the extra syllables that does it.
Yeah.
So, tell me about the last, good lord, when did we last do a show? 3 days ago?
Yeah.
On the 13th. Today's the 17th, so... This is a quick turnaround here.
Yeah, definitely a little bit out of the usual habit. I usually get a week to recover from this, but I'll do my best.
All right, good. Well, try to keep the energy up. Let's do the goodest we can do.
Absolutely.
We have a couple different things to talk about tonight. As usual, we'll talk about Raw briefly. You'll have a Lucha Underground review. We have a couple different topics to fork off to. Following up from last week, we wanted to go and talk about crowd reactions again, more with regard to how faces deal with crowd reactions. This mostly comes from Roman Reigns' triumphant return and how he is very strange sometimes when it comes to reacting to the crowd. We have questions, and I need to remember to ask for questions, don't I?
Yeah, you should.
I will do that in a moment once you get off on one of your little tangents. But for now, let me introduce our new and famous game.
I haven't heard anything about this, so readers, listeners, I am just as in the dark as you are.
It's a very simple game. It's called Who's Better? And I list two people. You tell me who's better. And why? And if the spirit moves us, we can go ahead and have a debate on it. So I'm going to start off with this. Who's better, The Rock or Steve Austin?
Oof.
And you may take it however you like. You may go with one because of this very reason, this, that, and the other, but you like the other one more, but whatever.
I mean, growing up, watching the Attitude Era... I would say The Rock, because as a kid, I never liked Austin because he feuded with Bret first.
Okay. That makes sense. How about as an adult?
As an adult, I've really come to appreciate, a lot of the stuff Austin brought to the table, just that amazing charisma.
Well, I mean, Rock was certainly not lacking in charisma.
No. A very different kind of charisma. Austin just literally felt like a dude who came in off the street and just started beating ass. With the way the Austin McMahon feud worked, you never had this feeling that Austin is secretly the guy. You know, like kind of like they do with Reigns at the moment.
Right.
You know, there always felt like that genuine animosity. But yeah, I mean, you turn charisma, talent, like, they're just... Two just absolutely phenomenal talents.
Agreed.
Yeah.
For my input, I will say Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
One of the best ever, one of the greatest talkers I've ever had the pleasure of listening to, and hell of a wrestler.
Absolutely.
Even with his fucked up neck, hell of a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Raw.
Yes.
Let's talk about one of the best ever. Roman Reigns is back. He returned triumphantly to raucous cheers and took it to Triple H. Now, I got to say this, jokes aside, main event for WrestleMania, and this is going to be one of the side topics that we talk about, but we're not going to get too in-depth on that right now. But WrestleMania main event, I'm not saying it's doomed, but it's going to be fucking weird.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, unless they want the show to end with boos... They're going to have to put something else on as the main event.
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, the Undertaker match, to me, is nothing to have my interest, and I don't think Shane McMahon is as big a deal as people make it out to be, but...
I mean, the crowd's going to be jacked.
Yeah.
So I think they'll react to the Undertaker. They'll react to Shane. Like, all they have to do is have Shane die a couple times.
Maybe for real.
Hmm.
Undertaker killed a man. I don't know how to accept that. Now, tell me about this Roman Reigns return. Was it announced beforehand that he'd be there?
No. There were reports.
Right, so what happened?
What happened was that at some point, there was a segment between two of my absolute favorite people ever, and that's Dolph Ziggler and Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
Dolph actually got some insults in on Stephanie, who promptly slapped him and put him in a match with Triple H for the main event.
And laid him out with a pedigree.
No, she did not do that, but...
Would have been good.
Mm-hmm. During the match, or shortly after Triple H won, Roman returned. His music played. He came down the entrance ramp, rather than through the crowd. And for a dude who got his face destroyed, as Michael Cole put it, half a month ago,
yeah,
he kind of stood on the ramp and posed like he was waiting for the cameras to acknowledge him, and came down the ramp.
And I imagine this surprise, shocking return, saving a audience favorite in Dolph Ziggler, for whatever reason, was able to garner a huge babyface reaction.
Even with the mics muted in Philadelphia, you could not contain the boos.
Really?
No.
Good Lord Almighty.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And it just highlighted that issue you talked about for one of our topics. The inappropriate reaction to the comeback and just the crowd reaction, it was very disjointed.
Yeah. So the reaction in and of itself,
mm-hmm.
the crowd reacting to Roman Reigns, did he look miffed by it? Did he look like, I don't give a shit, just going about his business? Did he kind of get a hurt look on his face? How was he?
He doesn't seem, it's like he doesn't hear it.
Okay.
But at the same time, it does seem like it's confusing to him.
Yeah. So, what should he do?
Well, with regards to this return, one of the biggest reactions he got in recent memory was that leaping spear from the ramp onto the Big Show.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That was really reminiscent of his Shield days. It was quick, it was explosive, it was really impressive looking.
Yep.
But, so the return should have been something like that, like running out and being quick and explosive and doing something interesting. But instead it was really lackluster. And I'm not sure if as a performer he's just kind of said, screw it, I'm getting pushed anyway.
Yeah.
Or he's getting very bad advice. Mm-hmm. But from a visual standpoint, from a crowd standpoint, it was about the most lead balloon type of reaction kind of entrance you could have had. Although I do appreciate...
What kind of reaction would have gotten... Like Roman Reigns, no matter how they brought him back, he was doomed, right? For this Mania, just the way it's been built up. And you remember when, whatever the pay-per-view was, where they turned the crowd, when he killed Triple H at the end, and then on that Raw, where they brought Vince back and he laid out Vince.
Yeah.
Do you remember what we said? I mean, it was like, it's working right now, but I worry.
Yeah.
I worry because I know what they always do in this situation, and I remember trying to couch my words pretty carefully and saying, I don't want to be negative. I don't want to sound negative here. But I know what they do.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it. And before too long, they fucked Roman up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of got it back a little bit. And then when they kind of got it back a little bit, what did they do? They fucked Roman up again. And they just will not give up the ghost on this fella. And maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't see... For the main event of Mania, any minor show even, I just don't see him having the crowd at all to any level you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any sort of overarching mixed reaction type thing going on.
No.
He's just booed. And maybe you could make him into a really hot heel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But why? What is stopping him?
I think the hot heel thing would be great for him, because it would probably let him tap into some of the legitimate frustration he feels. Because as a performer, when you're told you're going to go out there and be the big baby face and the, you know, star of the company and yada yada, and you get that reaction,
yeah,
it has to be frustrating. It has to leave you a little bitter, a little confused.
Yeah, absolutely.
Letting him tap into that and express it would be probably the best thing in the world for him, because a lot of times right now he feels very restrained. Mm-hmm. When he gets to go out there and beat someone and, you know, lay out Hunter like he did, that's when he's at his most charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they shove him out there with the script and try telling him to act, it's like...
And that's their MO.
Yeah.
And that's what they do, and that's how they try to force it, and that's what we've said from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's just never going to change.
No, and I think, honestly, that's one of the reasons they have been holding off on turning Ambrose. Because, good God, ain't no crowd in the world, unless it was comprised completely of Samoans related to him, is going to cheer Roman over Dean.
A lot of kids like the guy.
Yeah, but I don't think it's enough to sustain it. And even...
Not at live crowds. No, not at all. Not at all. Now, my thing, and I don't want to get into fantasy booking or anything mm-hmm. like that, but to me, you do have that ready-made feud post-Mania with Roman going heel and going against Dean.
Yeah.
Not right away, necessarily, no. But I just don't see what else you do. You know, you want to coronate him as, like, the bad guy.
The Authority's new pick, if they have to have the Authority.
Well, don't do that. Please, God, don't.
I know.
Do that.
I don't want that.
I know. But the ideal scenario to me
yeah.
is that Roman wins,
mm-hmm.
and then the Authority goes away, and then Roman does a thing with Dean, and eventually he turns on Dean. Maybe Dean's the number one contender,
yeah.
and Roman doesn't want to defend it, or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a ready-made thing. Now, post-Mania, maybe they're going to keep Brock around, and there's probably some money in Brock versus Roman
yeah.
to a degree, and that's a good way to get Roman over as a heel, to be quite honest.
Absolutely.
Especially if you haven't beat Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, if you haven't beat Brock. But I don't know. I don't want to get too much into that category. It's just, you look at it and you think, you cannot make him into a face.
And the thing is, even if they keep him face, okay, let's say they stick whole hog to this plan. Who do you put him against?
Right?
He's gone up against virtually everyone. And a lot of the people who are injured are going to come back as faces. Like your Cesaros, like... Orton can probably come. He's one of the few who could come back and just establish himself as a heel right away with a snap RKO.
Yeah, but, like, are they going to cheer?
Yeah, I know.
It's a conundrum.
Yeah.
You know? And it is pretty interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, it's interesting that they keep going. I mean, my God, have they shown such enormous dedication into doing something that isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And to just keep going. And God knows we say it, in case we have to, I guess. We say it every week. Roman's a good wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
He's a lot of fun to watch wrestle.
I think, honestly.
He's a cool guy who talks like the biggest fucking dweeb ever, mm-hmm. because nobody would talk like he does.
Yeah. And, you know, he needs a lot more time just to get seasoned as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be averse to Roman Reigns world champion 2-3 years down the line. Let him get a little bit of seasoning. Let him figure out how not to let the crowd get so obviously under his skin. And yeah. It's so tough with Roman, because at least The Rock had Die Rocky Die to go off of. You know, at least he built a whole promo around that when he first turned.
Yeah.
And Roman doesn't even have that. He just has booing. He just has this unanimous rejection. And
I mean, I don't know what to say here. He has something to build off of. Like, he's hated.
Mm-hmm.
People want to hate, you know, people boo him for the reason that they boo him, whether, you know, whatever their justification is. And I think it's, you know, for most people, it's he's not my guy. They want him to be the guy, but he's not my guy. And you can build a heel character with perhaps nothing more than that. That's fine.
Yeah.
He can do it. I don't know. It's not worth talking about, really, anymore. I mean, they're going to do it or they're not. And if they're adamant that it needs to be whatever it needs to be, then let them do it, I guess, and let's just see how this shit all unravels. Last Mania, they pulled off a Hail Mary, and it was awesome at the moment. So maybe they'll figure something else out.
I don't know. I don't know if, like, Roman could do a spear from the top of the ladder through a table onto Hunter, who's on another table resting on another ladder that's on fire. And I don't think that it would get him over. There was one really fun segment, though. Ironically, a couple featuring Dean.
On Raw, you're talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dean got one over a little bit on Brock.
Ah!
So what happened was that he's in the ring, he's challenging Brock to come out, and he unzips his leather jacket, unzips his other jacket, and pulls out a crowbar.
Ah, okay.
Because it's going to be a street fight, so who the hell cares?
Right.
And Brock backed off.
Okay.
So, you know, for the first time, it was Ambrose getting a bit of the upper hand, which was great. And there was a later segment, which was fantastic, with the master of properly reading crowds and getting cheap pops, Mick Foley, showing up and talking to Ambrose. And he said, you know, the crowbar is quite nice, but there's something a little more personal you could do.
Uh-huh.
And he handed Dean a big wrapped present, which the crowd popped harder for than they did for Roman Reigns. And inside the box was a barbed wire covered baseball bat.
There we go.
Yeah. So that was actually a lot of fun. And, you know, it was crazy because it did more to hype up the match than 20 promo segments. It was short. It got to the point that this is a crazy dangerous match he's going into, and he's a crazy dangerous man.
Well, it sounds like they did a good job there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. I mean, and they did the little Philly pop, and that was adorable. So.
The Philly pop?
Well, crowd.
The cheap pop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they kind of teased it, and then they said it, and the crowd was super happy.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Adorable. Trish or Lita?
Ooh. Honestly, I'd have to go with Trish.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I think she just had the most amazing development. You know, she went from, like, I wouldn't say Eva Marie levels of lacking charisma, but, like, if you watch her very early stuff, it was horrible.
Really bad.
Yeah, to see her really come into her own and then just cement herself in there as one of the best divas they ever had. One of the best women's wrestlers the company ever had.
Yeah.
And, you know, you keep putting these two names out there that they made each other better. Same thing with The Rock and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Trish and Lita, like, they were perpetually each other's rival. Some, you know, the alignments changed, but they were rarely, if ever, on the same side. So, I think it was the years-long rivalry just worked for them both.
Yeah. So.
What about you?
Trish.
Yeah. And
Lita was really not a very good wrestler.
No. I mean, she did.
She had a window where she was very popular, but she wasn't a particularly good wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying she definitely changed the game, or she raised the bar. because a lot of the stuff they had before her was just really so-so.
Really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else from Raw?
No, not really. It was a pretty forgettable show. The New Day had a tag title match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're officially face.
I mean, they definitely worked that style a lot more. They didn't do the switcheroo stuff. It was the League of Nations doing it, so it felt a lot more sensible, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk the topic that we kind of broached and then went away from a little bit, main event to WrestleMania this year. How do you – I'm curious how you think the crowd is going to react to Triple H and to Roman Reigns. Now, I'm pretty sure Roman Reigns is – there's nothing you can do to get him a positive reaction.
No.
But I wonder, do you think that the crowd is going to just completely shit on the match if it is presented as is? Or do you think, as I do, that Triple H is going to be a massive babyface no matter what?
Yeah, I think Hunter's skilled enough with the crowds – that he can at least temper that reaction slightly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not... Roman's going to get booed when he does his comeback spots. He's going to get booed when he does his high spots. He's just going to get booed.
Yeah.
But Triple H, yeah, he might just switch gears and work babyface. I mean, he might have to.
Well, even if you don't work babyface, I can't see him getting booed for his offense, and I can't see him, Roman, getting cheered for his.
Yeah,
no matter how the match goes, I'm thinking personally that Triple H is going to be the wildly favorite of the crowd.
I mean, Hunter could visibly on camera pay the referee to turn his back, punch Roman Reigns 10 times in the groin, and the crowd would be chanting one more time.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, this is going to be a weird Mania.
It is, but... You know, last year, it was slated to be... It was a really bad card on paper.
Yep.
And this year, a lot of it, like...
No, it wasn't a bad card. Just the main event looked bad. Not bad, even. Just, like, this one doesn't look bad, either. It's just weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whose fault is that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And whose fault is it?
It's the WWE's.
There you go. Not Roman's, huh?
No. I think... There's times where he doesn't do himself any favors. He's been compared lately a lot to Kevin Nash, where it's just doing as much work as possible, or as little work as possible for as much money.
Man, Roman Reigns works hard.
You know, time will tell.
That dude's a big bumping motherfucker.
Yeah. Time will tell. I mean, the thing is, like, when you're that fairly young... And you get the world title and you win the Royal Rumble and you do this and you do that. Eventually, what's left?
Retire from stenosis?
Exactly. I mean, you can also just kind of get fed up with the grind and fed up with getting booed and the road schedule and this and that and leave early and, you know, basically create the self-fulfilling prophecy that they established with Lesnar and with Lashley and with all those people who... got fed up and left.
Well, if you do that, you presumably make a lot of money somewhere.
Yeah.
So you should go for it.
Yeah. Get that acting career started.
Or something, you know. There's bound to be another WCW someday, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm going to go to the next one here. Owens or Ambrose?
Ooh.
Who's better?
You are not making these easy.
Why would I want to?
I think as much as I love these two guys, and this is very hard, I think Owens is a bit more complete package.
That he is.
Ambrose is a stellar talker, and he's definitely got that intangible charisma.
Mm-hmm.
But Owens, just the way he can manipulate the crowd without really being obvious about it is...
Yeah, he's special.
Yeah, he's astonishingly good at that.
He is the man.
Yeah.
We are pretty much we've been in agreement for all three so far. How about that?
Wow.
We gotta manufacture some ill feeling, so the next one I'll just disagree with you no matter what.
Okay.
Tell me about Lucha Underground.
Okay.
Last week, what happened last week? Last week was the
last week was a little bit filler. This week there were some major events happening.
Wasn't there another Cobra Moon? No.
No. The Mac faced off against Marty the Moth and Mariposa. Marty the Moth's sister made her appearance, her debut.
And you know who that is?
I believe that's cheerleader Melissa.
That is?
Yeah. So, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This week, there were two title changes.
Really?
Yeah.
What ones?
The Trios title and the World Heavyweight.
Trios was the one that Ivelisse
yeah.
and Son of Havoc. Who had it? I know they didn't have it here, right? Someone else had
no,
it.
No, the Disciples of Death had them.
Ah, the jobbers that Mil Muertes killed.
Yes, the Putties.
Long ago. They lost it to whom?
They lost, the Putties lost to Ivelisse, Angelico, and Son of Havoc.
Okay, so they got it back.
Yeah, because it was basically if they left, if they lost, that group had to leave. If they didn't win the titles.
All right.
So it was actually a very fun match. They did some fun kind of classic spots where they pulled the switcheroo and went for the roll-up, but Angelico kicked out. One thing that marred the match a little smidge was just Matt Stryker was a little insufferable. Just with his nicknames.
I like that you can be degrees of insufferable.
Yeah.
As though that word is not already practically a superlative.
Yeah, no, he was a bit obnoxious during that match.
You need to get like a Matt Stryker like scale from like 0 to 1
mm-hmm.
and all the points in between. It's the insufferability scale.
Yeah, I would say like a 0.3. It was just
that's actually extremely good for him.
It was just starting to get distracting from the match. The match was all right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything special, but it was it still got the crowd very excited to do what they do, and they popped, and they before the match there was a segment between Katrina and Phoenix where
Katrina?
Yes.
Okay.
And Phoenix.
Hate her.
Yeah, she basically confirmed that she's a ghost. Well, no, actually said she is a ghost. And that,
okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, she destroying Phoenix would give her life back.
Okay, so now she has motivation.
Yes, apparently they were an item in the past.
Yeah, that was in the first season. Like, she left Mil briefly for Phoenix, but it was all a ruse.
Yeah, but this seemed to imply a deeper...
Ah. Yeah, and I think it was Phoenix. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they implied a deeper connection there.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but she basically said, Mil is going to put an end to you tonight. So, interesting.
So she's literally a ghost
yes.
that can come back to life if they kill the Phoenix.
Yes, because he is the man of 1,000 lives.
Yeah, he's literally a Phoenix.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. There was also a quick segment where Dragon Azteca and Rey Mysterio are both confirmed to be in Aztec Warfare.
Okay.
Now, the cool thing here is that you bear in mind the time of the tapings, mm-hmm. Where it was reported Rey was on crutches, yada yada, etc. And the fact that the crowd in the arena have no idea about these backstage segments.
Right.
It is going to be a complete surprise for people when Rey Mysterio shows up for Aztec Warfare.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So it's going to be... They're really building it up amazingly.
Yep. I mean, I don't think he's wrestled it yet. I think there are additional... Maybe he has. I think they've already done the tapings, actually,
yeah.
haven't they?
I mean, they're starting to tape for season 3 now.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Please forgive me.
That's all right.
Okay.
Okay.
And what else happened on this here show?
Let's see. The crew decided to ditch Chavo Guerrero.
Okay.
So, basically, Tejano won. It was a very short match. So, Tejano, he's just not lighting my world on fire as a babyface. I don't know if he's better as a heel.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just kind of silly to me.
Yeah, it's just... It was a bull rope match. Wasn't that great?
Ugh, they never are, though.
No.
They're the worst.
This is true.
Yeah.
Oh, and Dario finally unveiled his brother.
Who, all right.
Yeah. Let me see. Somebody discussed his look at that.
But they actually, like, had him out there.
Yeah, well, they're in their little secondary temple thing, building up the money and training Matanza to come to get ready.
Ah, okay.
So now he's ready, and he looks like a slasher movie villain.
Yeah, it's, that's Joe Cobb. I don't know much about him other than he's like a legit athlete, but not like a...
Yeah, I don't want to, like I don't want to know spoilers. Guy. I don't want to know anything about him when he comes in. So,
okay.
And again, the crowd has no idea about this.
Right.
Yeah. So, basically, after that, it was the main event time.
What did we have on tap this week? What did the ghost bring us?
Mil Muertes versus Phoenix for the Lucha Underground Championship.
Yeah?
Yeah. Very fun match again. With these two, they always pull out some really crazy spots, and they had a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, Phoenix won.
Phoenix wins a lot.
Yeah.
That's fine. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's great. And he had this moment where he like climbed out of the ring, and he just fell back kind of into the crowd, and everybody was just cheering and like kind of swarmed on him. Not... But, like, just excitedly.
Yeah.
To pat him on the back and cheer. And it was another one of those great visuals that you don't see in WWE because, hey, obvious reasons, and the guardrail, and it's that sanitized look you've talked about. And this just felt like such real emotion.
Well, that is good. It's good that wrestling can have that from time to time.
Mm-hmm. And
actual real emotion.
So Katrina, like... again, Lucha Underground subscribes to that wrestling theory where if you have all the belts, you have the power.
Right.
And so Katrina lost all her power in the course of a night.
Ah.
But the last thing she did was change the rules for Aztec Warfare. Because now she's made it so that Phoenix will enter first. It will be a title defense. Which it's not usually. So Phoenix will enter first, Mill will enter 20th, and the title's on the line.
And it's a Royal Rumble.
It's a Royal Rumble, but with pinfalls.
All right.
So it's a lot of fun. And they've done a hell of a lot to hype this show. And it's quite funny, like, when you consider the tapings, that this stipulation, this whole thing, was done before the Royal Rumble. So, it's bite-sized, and I think that's one of the reasons I really like it. It's like, boom, 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 main event, done!
Yeah, our show is... That's pretty good for a wrestling show.
They cram a lot into it.
Plus, they have a lot of people, and it's not like they gotta book them,
yeah.
You know? It's its own separate entity, so...
Yeah.
Different guys every week, and then you get your main eventers mentioned. You know, you get your Phoenix mentioned, you get Meal, you get Puma.
The crazy thing is, they have so many storylines and so many interweaving plots going on, they could easily go to a 2-hour show and still maintain that.
True that. Although, I hope they don't.
No, I'm cool with them not doing so.
Spread it out.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Sure.
Prince Puma or Phoenix?
Oof. They're both so crisp.
Mm-hmm. But you have to pick one.
I'll go with Puma.
You are correct. I'm not even going to pretend. He is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ricochet is kind of special, though.
Who's Ricochet?
That's Prince Puma.
No, Prince Puma is Prince Puma.
Just you wait, when you hear that iconic voice of Ricochet when he talks, because he's known for his promos on the indie scene, you see, you'll know. That's him. That's always been him.
Prince Puma's never said a word.
True.
He just punches through punching bags when he gets angry.
Does he?
Yeah, he did it again this week.
When are they going to finally have him talk? Guess he doesn't really need to.
No, they had basically Johnny Mundo come over and taunt him and trash talk, and then Prince Puma was angry and punched through a punching bag.
Yeah.
Good. That's a thing he does.
I wonder what Brian Cage could do to a punching bag.
Punch it.
Could he punch through it?
Probably in Lucha Underground.
Could he rip it in half?
In Lucha Underground, yes. He could channel...
Okay, I bet he could do it in real life.
He could channel the power of Grayskull.
Ah. Well, let me ask you another one. Another who's better. Seth Rollins or Zahara?
Seth Rollins.
Ah, okay. You're not big into Nazis.
No, shocking.
Seth is. How about this? This is a little wrinkle on the old formula now. We've got who's better out of four people.
Okay.
Vince, Shane, Stephanie, or Linda?
Shane.
Really?
With Shane, it's again the result of a complete lack of overexposure.
Sure.
Linda's basically a non-entity. I mean, she appears...
No, she's not overexposed.
She's appeared so rarely that... But she has this terrible anti-charisma.
Who's the worst?
By virtue of sheer hours on my TV, Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie's the worst. I hate her.
Yeah.
Hell, I got a few more.
Okay.
AJ Styles, Chris Daniels, or Samoa Joe?
Oof. Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
It's AJ.
I like AJ.
Yeah, it's AJ.
I like Dan. Okay. Chris Sabin or Alex Shelley?
Shelley.
Really?
Yeah, Sabin's maybe a little better as a wrestler, but Shelley is just way more charismatic and a much better talker.
I think that's one of those cases where as a team, they're so much better.
I love them as a team.
And they're
yeah.
back as a team.
Yes, they are.
Yay.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Fun times ahead in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, they've got such a great tag division that, you know, having the Machine Guns be back is going to be terrific.
Did you see the best Meltzer driver ever?
Yes, I did.
What did you think about that?
That was amazing.
Yeah, I'm all for that shit. And fucking, like, okay, so anyone who hasn't seen this GIF, just go and search best Meltzer ever, or best Meltzer driver ever, or whatever. You'll find a GIF pretty quickly. Go on Twitter and ask for it, people. Get a Twitter.
Yeah.
You can interact with me. But Daniels does the best moonsault ever, you know, where he bounces the second rope, then goes up top and does a moonsault, while Kazarian has a guy in tombstone pile driver position. Daniels vaults them, perfectly lands on his feet to stuff the tombstone. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, there was...
That's really hard to do.
There was a post on SA that summed it up perfectly. This is an arms race I can get behind. And that is absolutely true.
Absolutely true indeed. Brett or Owen?
Oh. Gotta go with... Brett was better, but I loved Owen because I was also the youngest kid and felt disenfranchised.
Yeah, I'm a Brett guy as well.
Yeah.
Owen, you know, if he were a top guy, maybe he'd have wound up the better remembered wrestler. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was great, but Brett had a fuck ton of great matches.
Absolutely, and I mean, Owen was always kind of plagued in the mid-card, so... I don't know that he ever got to completely showcase what he could really do.
Exactly. Who's better, Kevin Nash or Scott Hall?
Scott Hall was a better wrestler.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin...
He was also a worse wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, when he was on, he was great. When he was off, he was...
drunk.
Yeah, completely horrible.
Yeah. So who do you go with? Who's better? And better here is, you know, it's dealer's choice. Is it the overall package? Is it just the wrestling? Is it something else entirely? Just your preference?
I think overall, really, honestly, when Hall was on his game, Hall.
Yeah. Yeah, when Hall was on, he was really something.
I mean,
he was really good.
For until things got really, really bad with him, you'd have no idea how out of control he was.
Yeah.
And that's pretty impressive.
Heenan or Ventura?
Heenan.
As a commentator?
Heenan.
Heenan? Okay. Gorilla or Vince?
Ooh, Gorilla.
Really?
I mean, like, the thing is, if you listen to a lot of Vince commentary in a row, it's really grating. And, like, you can only, like, what a maneuver is kind of fondly remembered, but you hear that several times during the course of the show, and it's like, dude, just, can you not name moves? Can you not? And Gorilla was always able to sound outraged. When the heels did something bad, he truly felt that they were terrible people, and that there was no cause for that. It's one of the reasons I like Moro, because that's what the play-by-play should do.
Sure.
And just have that little bit of, you know, the heel did a bad thing and this is why.
Road Dog or the Ass Man?
Road Dog?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that? Justify your answer.
I mean, Billy Gunn had a few good moves. Like, he did a phenomenal dropkick.
Sure.
Absolutely no doubt about it, but, you know, just, he was always kind of meh in the ring. Road Dogg was just this quietly good hand.
No, he wasn't.
He was fine.
He wasn't good. He wasn't good at wrestling.
Whatever.
I disagree with that assessment, but... But the Ass Man, I will just say this, Billy Gunn had music wherein he was referred to as an ass man.
Whoa.
And he showed his ass, and he slapped his ass, and he finisher was to basically sit on a person with his ass. I don't know how you could possibly say that there's been a better wrestler than him ever.
Mm-hmm.
But your right is to be wrong. So... Let's talk about... Oh, Jesus Christ, did we go through everything?
Just about, I think.
Yeah, we've already kind of talked about the crowd reaction thing. We did our little side topic about the Mania main event, Lucha Underground Raw. We've had a fun little game of who's better. I guess we'll get into questions.
Yeah, go for it.
Which I just remembered to ask for. Dark Star asks, and this is probably some wacky thing that I'm not in the loop on, but who would win in a fight, Ricky Ortiz or Kizarni?
Ha ha ha.
Is this something that happened recently?
Not that I know of.
All I know about Ricky Ortiz is he married Layla, and Kizarni is married to Miss Kitty. So I will say Ricky Ortiz.
Yeah, he's younger, he's...
Just on the quality of wife.
Yeah.
Not to sound like a pig, but you know.
Okay, fair enough.
You get power from your wife.
Yeah.
Layla has power, because like a spirit bomb.
Okay. Moving on.
Blue Army Man, do you think live wrestling on TV is on its way out?
No.
I do not. There's never been a bigger time for live televised professional sports.
I mean, you've got so many niche channels. Like, you just look at...
Well, he does specify here in a follow-up tweet, as opposed to pre-taped, that is.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think part of wrestling... the allure of wrestling is that it does have that quasi-sports feel, and that's what makes people tune into basketball games and football games and hockey and everything, is they want to see who wins, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, you tune in for the stars and all that fun stuff, but you want to know who wins.
Yeah. And the nice thing with wrestling is that there's a good guy and a bad guy. It's usually kind of clear-cut. Usually. I don't know, I think... For live TV, like, honestly, it's it's just how the product is presented for the most part.
Yeah.
There's quite a few taped shows now these days, and there is something to be said for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea to me is, you know, wrestling is, how do I even put this? Like, if it's presented like a sport, then it behooves it to be live.
Yeah.
If it's presented as a show, maybe it's not as important.
Mm-hmm. I think for the companies, it's probably a lot cheaper to do taped, but
yes,
the
it is.
Thing is, if you watch NXT regularly, you can see the crowd slowly fade week to week. When they do 3-4 tapings in a row, by the third or fourth taping, it's the reactions are more and more lukewarm.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this: when I went to a Ring of Honor show, that taped 4 1-hour shows back to back to back to back, I left during the fourth show.
Yeah.
It just, you get enough of your wrestling fix, but yeah, live wrestling as opposed to taped. So, you know, Raw as opposed to SmackDown. I mean, I don't know that it being live necessarily is why it pulls the better, you know, the ratings that it pulls. But I have to feel like, I don't know, but I feel like it does. You know, you always hear, like, Dave Meltzer will talk about how it doesn't matter, blah, 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 but I think it doesn't matter because Raw is typically live, so people get in the groove.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's taped, it doesn't affect it because it's taped for 1 week. That it's live, I think, is part of the big allure because there is that belief that anything can happen. And I think that does go a bit of a way, 100,000, 200,000 people, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think if wrestling is presented more like a sport, then it definitely is helped by being live. Because just live sports are in vogue right now. You know, basketball just signed a television deal that is far in excess of any previous television deal because networks need shit that people don't DVR.
Yeah. And, you know, it's these days you could call your friend, you can text them, say, Shane McMahon's back.
Right.
And it's that spontaneous feel.
Exactly. So, next question. Ultimo Dragon Quest. Mm-hmm. You're never going to see La Sombra in person. How does that make you feel? And that question is clearly directed at you, Kath, because I am going to meet La Sombra in person one day. But you won't.
Oh.
So how does that make you feel?
I don't know as much about him as you, so I am comfortable living with this.
Do you think he's dreamy?
Not as much as you do.
Oh, well, that do you still. Do you think he's dreamy?
Sure.
Okay, good. Time Cube Charlie asks, is wrestling better or worse than the 91 Camaro I'm trying to sell? Buy my Camaro, please. Pro wrestling in general is better than it.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, I would have to say so as well.
Oh, by the way, tomorrow, are you watching Homenaje de Dos Leyendas? No, A la Dos Leyendas? Whatever. CMLL, Homage to Two Legends show. The big, one of their two annual big shows that CMLL puts on.
Perhaps. You
can watch two men get shaved.
Will you be watching the MMA show on Sunday?
Tank dropped out!
What?
Tank fucking dropped out! They're looking for a replacement!
Go for it!
The whole reason I wanted to watch was because Tank Abbott was fighting Dan Severn. Now they're not! So I don't know. When they announce the replacement, I might watch it. So I'll let you know. I'll keep you in the loop, yeah. Or I'll forget. But yeah, I'm definitely watching that CMLL show tomorrow until I forget. So that'll be the first time in a few weeks I've watched wrestling for my wrestling podcast.
That would be super handy.
Yeah. That was my nickname in college. Super handy. Da-da-da. Striking Yak. Which wrestler would you most like to beat you up? Brian Cage, for me.
Hmm. I would probably go with Naomi because most of her strikes don't connect.
True, but what if she hits you with her ass?
Well, then she calls that the rear view.
That's her finisher.
So then it'll be quick.
Yeah, knock you out. I mean, that would be embarrassing, though, wouldn't it? To get knocked out with an ass?
I don't know. You're the one who was raving about Billy Gunn. to the point where it was getting awkward.
Hey, don't kink shame me.
Awkward.
Billy Gunn is the ass man, and I'm an ass man liker.
You're an ass maniac.
I'm an ass maniac. Jord Ha, best Prince Devitt match, and I guess you could go with Balor if you prefer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wasn't watching as much New Japan when he was doing his thing. Not, you know, during his heel turn and all that fun stuff when he was made a heavy. I do remember watching a Tanahashi match that was really good, but not, like, spectacular. I don't know what I'd say is the best. What's the best Balor match that you can recall?
The one in Japan was really great.
Who did he wrestle there?
Owens.
Did he wrestle Jericho? Owens! Okay.
Yeah.
Was that the title change?
I believe so. Okay. It was title change or title defense. I can't remember. But his whole series with Owens was great.
Yeah, Owens is pretty good.
Yeah, they just really worked well.
And finally, our last question. Chewy Bittums. And I think I pronounced that wrong again. If the character Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch dong, how big is the character Seth Rollins' dick?
As however big as he says.
Is that how it works?
I guess.
Like any fictional character, like any pro wrestler can have however big a dick that they want as their character.
Well, I mean, if you're really desperate for size and girth measurements, you can probably go to a fan fiction site.
I don't know if they would be accurate, though.
Well, it's accurate to the person.
Mm. To the person.
To the person writing it.
Yeah.
That is their artistic license.
Is there some
That's
sort of like fan fiction canon for penis size?
When I was, I never really.
When you wrote erotic fan fiction.
Shut up.
Fixated on the penis, specifically.
So what would happen sometimes if it was like a very small fandom is that somebody would write something really interesting or funny or quirky, and it would just kind of get folded into other people's fan fictions.
Mm.
I believe the term was fanon. Like, instead of canon, it's fanon.
Yes.
And it was funny because that actually happened with Harry Potter fan fiction, where Ginny, she initially had a different name. One person wrote fan fiction where it wasn't Janine, it was something else.
Virginia?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a nickname that some people named Virginia have as a nickname.
Sure.
And so J.K. Rowling eventually changed it to whatever it
really
was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Virginia kind of got accepted as Fanon well before it was revealed that she had a different first name.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you recall any penis sizes that became Fanon in the Harry Potter universe?
I don't read much Harry Potter fan fiction.
Okay, well, can you tell us anybody's Fanon penis size from any...
No.
Fan fiction.
No. Again,
no?
It's rarely something that comes up. It's as big as the author needs it to be.
10-inch penis.
Or wants it to be,
exactly.
To be fair, being that it's fan fiction.
Yeah.
Some
people go way more into, like, detail with that sort of stuff than most people are comfortable with.
But not you.
I'm not comfortable with, like, excessive detailing. It's weird.
No? Leave a little bit up to the...
Yeah.
To the imagination, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, I got a few more here. Hulk Hogan or Ultimate Warrior?
Oof.
These aren't questions. These are my who's-he-what's-its.
Oh, dick.
That's... What's the canon size?
Shut up. I think you gotta go Hogan. I mean... Just for WWE careers and long, you know, cultural impact.
Not being a constant embarrassment at all times.
Yeah, he
at all times.
Yeah. And I think a lot of... Well, I mean, a lot of people remember Warrior fondly, but I think overall, kids grew up mostly wanting to be Hulk Hogan, not so much the Ultimate Warrior, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alrighty.
How about Flair or Steamboat?
Ooh, Flair.
How about just from a wrestling perspective? Just their wrestling ability.
Flair.
Would you still go with Flair?
Yeah.
You ever watch the trilogy?
I have in bits and pieces. I think I've watched it out of order.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think I watched those, I think it was last year. And man, oh man, are they fucking good. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, they still live up to the hype. And I guess
God.
We should mention...
Somebody just posted that gif of the Roman Reigns Hurricanrana.
The one that he does the Big Show?
Yeah.
Ah, that is a good one.
But not even all the setup.
No?
And he's still just... they just completely whiff it, and Big Show had to help him get his foot up.
We should mention Sting's retiring.
Yeah.
His neck is borked.
Yeah. Oh, God, what a shame.
I think we knew that, though, when it was just basically announced that he had to get fusion, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, at his age, like, what does he really have to prove?
Yeah.
You know, better for him to walk away.
So my final, who's better?
Okay.
It's going to be, actually, what's better, or which was better, Raw or Nitro?
Ooh. Nitro had the decency to be over.
I like that one.
I think, I mean, just due to sheer longevity, Raw's had more high spots.
Sure.
And current Raw, if nothing else wrestling-wise, is solid.
There is that. But on the other hand, Nitro eventually became an avant-garde, brilliant...
Bizarre,
absurd, unprecedented storytelling medium. It made no sense. It squandered every opportunity. It presented literally Scott Steiner going down to the ring and shooting on people in the company and telling them to watch Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It had extravagant wastes of money long into when they were in the red. It had the biggest squandering of talent in the history of the business.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else. Nitro was something else. But, yeah, Raw's peaks were much better.
Yeah. Alrighty.
And I guess we're going to go ahead and call it an evening.
Yeah,
then.
Very micro show, just because we, as you said, spoke earlier this week, so...
Yep. The show can be however big it needs to be.
Exactly.
So we want to thank everyone for listening. We will be back next Thursday. You probably back on the usual schedule. We'll be talking about the CMLL show, provided the stream does not break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll possibly talk about that wacky UR fight show.
It's going to have Jim Ross commentating.
It is.
And
it is.
At the rate they're burning through their event card, Manflurry, you might be participating.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, see if you can get booked.
I'd fight Dan Severn.
Yeah.
He's 50-something. He'll still beat my ass, but I'll fight
Maybe
him,
you can
you
get
know?
Brian Cage in your corner and La Sombra to carry you out on his shoulders.
Other way around.
No, I like
Sombra
my way.
Should be in my corner. Brian Cage will start to carry me out and then give me a screwdriver.
The drink?
Leave me in the... That'll work, too.
Yes, the drunken brawl.
Yeah, he'll give me a he'll get me drunk before the fight. Brian Cage will.
That'd be great.
Well, then we'll talk about that, possibly. CMLL, definitely. Lucha Underground, Raw, for whatever reason, and possibly other things as well, and we'll have more of Who's Better.
Fantastic.
So until then, people, thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you again very soon, but not soon enough.
Bye-bye now.